Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 23. The demigods regain the heavenly planets. This is text 16. This is a verse spoken by Shukracharya to Lord Narayan at the Indraloka, in the presence of Bali Maharaj. Shukracharya said, "There may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras and observing the regulative principles. And moreover, there may be discrepancies in regard to time, place, person, and paraphernalia. But when your Lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam kalo anasteva, nasteva, nasteva, gatiranyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. This is a quotation from the Brihan Naradiya Purana. In this age of Kali, it is extremely difficult to perform Vedic ritualistic ceremonies or sacrifices perfectly. Hardly anyone can chant the Vedic mantras with perfect pronunciation or accumulate the paraphernalia for Vedic performances. Therefore, the sacrifice recommended in this age is Sankirtan, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Jagye Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedashaha. Instead of wasting time performing Vedic sacrifices, those who are intelligent, those who possess good brain substance, Sumed, should take to the chanting of the Lord's holy name and thus perform sacrifice perfectly. I have seen, this is Srila Prabhupada speaking, I have seen that many religious leaders are addicted to performing yajñas and spending hundreds and thousands of rupees for imperfect sacrificial performances. This is a lesson for those who unnecessarily execute such imperfect sacrifices. We should take the advice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who said, Jagya Sankirtana Priyar Yajantihi Sumedashaha. Although Shukracharya was a strict Brahmana, addicted to ritualistic activities, he also admitted, Nishchidram Anusankarnam Tava. My Lord, constant chanting of the holy name of your Lordship makes everything perfect. In Kali Yuga, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies cannot be performed as perfectly as before. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami has recommended that although one should take care to follow all the principles in every kind of spiritual activity, especially in the worship of the deity, there is still a chance of discrepancies, and one should compensate for this by chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In our Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, we give special stress to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra in all activities. In this verse, Shukracharya, who is speaking actually millions of years ago, he's speaking millions of years ago during the time of Satyuga. And after Satyuga comes Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, then Kali Yuga. So he is speaking in Satyuga and he's saying, there's so many chidram, so many discrepancies and problems in performing sacrifice. But there's no problem in performing the Sankirtan. Sankirtan, Jagya. There's no problem. There's nishchidram. No discrepancies, no problems. So in the age of Treta Yuga, the means of purification, the means of enlightenment and elevation, and the process of religion was jagya, sacrifice. But to perform jagya, so many requirements are there. And all the considerations must consider the kala, the desha, the patram. You must consider the season. What season is it? What is the time? Who are the persons involved? What is the place? Is it a pure place? And is it the proper titi? And then the paraphernalia. As mentioned in this verse, the paraphernalia means all the items of the jagya must be pure. And the jagya arena must be pure and maintained in a pure position. Everyone knows from Ramayana, there's a story of Vasishtha Muni. Vasishtha Muni was living in his hermitage on the top of the mountains. This is Treta Yuga. In Treta Yuga, the process of jagya, or the process of religion, was jagya. So he is performing vast jagyas. Gomeda jagya, Ashwamedha jagya, all these big yagyas. But what was happening? He would make his arena. He would put all cow dung there and purify everything. And then he would put strings everywhere and kusha mats and put all the fires in the right directions and assemble all the different priests, the Advarya priests, the Advarya Brahmana and the Hotra Brahmana and the Jagya Brahmana. All the proper Brahmanas would be assembled. And he was just about to ignite or light the sacrificial fire by mantra and begin the jagya, and then these demons would come. Demons would come in the sky, asuras, and they would pass stool, urine, pus, blood, bones, hair, and drop all these things on top of the jagya, shala, jagya arena. So then Vasishtha Muni's jagya would be destroyed, would become contaminated completely. And his attempt to perform sacrifice would be destroyed and frustrated. So he could not get any result. So he was becoming very unhappy. So Vasishtha Muni, he went to King Dasharath. He came here to Ayodhya. Is it all King Dasharath? The Muni was Vishwamrita Muni. Vasishtha was always a rishi, and Vishwamrita Muni was a kshatriya. And he fought once with Vasishtha and got defeated, so then he became a rishi. Is it right? Right. So Vishwamrita Muni, he was doing his jagyas to get more and more power. So he came to King Dasharath, and he said, "Oh, King Dasharath, you are such a great and noble and honorable king, and everyone living in Ayodhya is happy and peaceful and prosperous." And he was saying, "Yes, yes, yes." And so then King Dasharath, he asked Vishwamrita Muni, he said, Punar Janma Vijayate. He said, Vishwamrita Muni, how are you doing in your attempt to conquer over repeated birth and death? Punar Janma Vijayate. Punar Janma. Again take birth. Vijayate. Victory. So this is the proper greeting. When a person greets a holy sage, he says, "Oh, how are you doing in your bhajan? How is your bhakti? How is your practice of bhajan? Are you getting closer to prema? Are you getting closer to Krishna, Krishna consciousness, realizing Krishna? Are you getting closer to liberation? Punar janma vijayate." And of course, Vishwamrita Muni, he greeted the King Dasharath by saying, How is your kingdom? Are all the people happy in your kingdom? How are your horses? How are your elephants? How are your queen and your subjects? Is everyone happy?" Because this is how you greet a king. Just like when two businessmen will meet. They'll say, "Hey, how's your business?" "Oh, business very good. Big profits." And then the other one will say, "Well, how is your business?" "Oh, Prabhu, big problem, this embargo by America, now my business is going this way, that way, So this is how businessmen will greet. So after exchanging cordiality or greetings, then Vishwamrita Muni said, I have some charity to beg. Please, I'm having this disturbance. I'm having chidram, discrepancies and disturbances in my sacrifice, my jagya. All these demons are ruining my jagya arena. Can you please give me your son Ram and Lakshman to come and kill these demons so that I can perform the jagya and get the proper result? Of course, when Dasharatha heard this, he was stricken with great fear of losing his son. Although at the same time, being a dutiful king, he had to honor the request of this Brahmin and Rishi. He was duty-bound as a man of Dharma. So he said, yes, what can I say? Yes, take my son. Of course, then he fainted, but he recovered. He recovered from that separation. That separation from Ram, he recovered from Dasharatha. So then Ram and Lakshman, they went there and they killed those demons and the sacrifice went on. So to perform sacrifice, so many things are required. The place must be kept pure. The whole Jagyashala must be kept pure. Just like here, we're doing Jagya to open the temple. So they marked off the area with red string. Then they washed it all down with cow dung. And they chanted mantras and they installed deities in different directions. The digpals. The digpals of the 10 directions. And they installed so many protecting, and they chanted mantras to remove ghosts and bhutas and pretas. Everything became totally auspicious. And then what happened? Then some workmen are working on this Garuda Stamba. They come in with their shoes on, smoking cigarettes. Smoking cigarettes, wearing their shoes, which are full of dog stool and everything. And they walk all over the Jagya arena and smoking cigarettes. And then after they finished, then Maharaj had to purify the whole place again and wash it all down with cow dung, chant all the mantras, install the devatas or the digpals. So much problem performing Jagya. Big problem. And the biggest problem, like Prabhupada mentions here, he says, I have seen that many religious leaders are addicted to performing jagyas and spending lakhs and lakhs of rupees for lavish arrangements for jagyas. So Prabhupada says, I have seen. So I can also say, I have seen. I have seen in Kumbh Mela 1989 and 1995 in Allahabad. There was one Karlapati Maharaj, something like this. Is that right, Karlapati? There's one Maharaj named Karlapati Maharaj. And he had a huge Jagyashala set up at Allahabad on the beach. Big, strong Jagyashala. Inside, he had 108 fires. 108 fires. And it was, you know, mega Jagya. So 108 Brahmins. There was two Brahmins at each. There was 216 Brahmins. So many Brahmins. So much wood. So much paraphernalia was consumed. But the most important part of Jagya is the paraphernalia, the desha and the patra, the arrangement, the paraphernalia. So performing sacrifice means that you have to have pure paraphernalia, pure patra, which means you must have panchagavya. Panchagavya. Gavya means cow. Means you must have pure cow's ghee. You must have gober. You must have mutra. They must have yogurt. They must have, what is it, urine? Let's see, it's milk, yogurt, ghee, mutra, and gober. It's called panchagavya. These five things are required for jagya. You have to wash the area with urine and gober, and then you have to use yogurt for the jagya, you have to use milk for the jagya, because you have to use milk to make kheer, because you have to make payasam. Because when you're doing proper payasam, you also have to feed Lord Vishnu with payasam. So the milk is required to make the kheer. And ghee, swaha ghee. So, when Krishna came in Treta Yuga as the Yuga avatar for that age, he came as a red avatar known as Yagya. And he had symbols, he had two symbols, Shruk and Shrava. Shruk and Shruva. I think it's Shruk and Shruva. Shruk and Shruva are two spoons. Ladles made of a special wood which are used for jagya. The shrava is used for pouring ghee into the shruk. And the shruk is a specially designed spoon which has the mouth of a hamsa. Hamsa muk. No? Hamsa muk, sometimes little children when they make shadows, They make a black background and a light, and they make shadows. So they make this swan. A swan, Hamsa Mukh, you know? Make mudras, they make shadow. So this Shruk Chamach has a Hamsa Mukh, has a mouth, and that's used for pouring the ghee into the fire. Swaha, swaha. So, the Jagya avatar, the Yagya Purusha, Vishnu, he came in four arms, Chaturbhuj Narayan, with a red body, and with these Shruk and Shruva in his hand. So, when we're doing Jagya, we require Gaika ghee, pure cow's ghee. Because Vishnu eats cow's ghee. He's known as Govinda, Gopal. Govinda Gopal, the protector of the cows, the lover of the cows, the servant of the cows, right? We don't hear anything about, we never hear Krishna called Vice Gopal. Or Vice Pal. Vice means buffalo? How do you say buffalo? Vice? We never hear Krishna called Vice Pal. Vice Pala Hari Bolo, Vice Pala Hari, Vice Pala Bolo Hari. No. Is Govinda Bolo Hari, Gopala Bolo. You never hear Vice Pala. So Krishna, of course, he is protecting everyone. He is protecting every living entity, no doubt. But he's not specially known as the protector of the buffalo. Who rides on the buffalo? Who is the buffalo is the Viman for who? Yamaraj. So you can take the buffalo and you can take Yamaraj too. You know Viman? Viman means the carrier. So the carrier of Yamaraj is the buffalo. Vice. And the carrier of Kartikeya rides on the Mayur, and Brahma rides on the Hamsa, and Shiva rides on Nandi, on the Brisha Nandi, the bull. Krishna rides on Garuda. And Krishna, and he likes the Gopal. He's with the Gopals. Krishna rides with the cows, right? When Krishna's a baby in Gokul, he's crawling around in the mud, in the Gopal. And he sees a little calf, a little baby calf is standing there peacefully. Then Krishna reaches up from the, he's in the dirt, and he reaches his hand up, and he grabs the tail of that calf. The calf goes, whoo! And the calf runs away, starts running down the road in Gokul. And Krishna's holding on, whoa! And he's sliding through the streets of Gopal in the mud, in the gopher, everything. And he's laughing, and Balaram is laughing. Ah ha ha, look at this. This is Gopal. Govinda Gopal. This is Gokul Leela, Balya Leela. Krishna Kumar, right? Krishna Kumar. So, when doing jagya, we require cow's ghee. But when Kaliapati Maharaj in Allahabad was doing his 108 jagyas, I asked him, I said, what, you have so much jagya here. You're spending lakhs and lakhs and lakhs of rupees. What kind of ghee are you using? He said, just whatever from the market. No, actually, they were using dalda. They were using vegetable ghee. They call it vegetable ghee. There's no such thing as vegetable ghee. It's vegetable fat. You know, it's vegetable fat. It's not ghee. Ghee means Gaya. So the most essential element of jagya and sacrifice is ghee from the cow, Gomata. So if there's no ghee, no cow's ghee, there's no jagya. So that's a fault. That's a chidram. Chidram. This verse says chidram. Chidram means discrepancy. Fault, problem, difficulty, which means you cancel the whole thing. Because the Yagya Purush is Krishna, and Krishna will accept your offerings if you offer them with ghee. Just like when you're offering the payasam. When you're doing jagya, you also offer payasam to Vishnu. But that payasam is mixed with ghee. And you have to be careful. You have a bowl of payasam. Well, payasam means sweet rice, you know, kheer, payasam. So that payasam is there, and on top of that payasam is ghee. A layer of ghee is poured. Cow's ghee. And then when you offer the payasam, you take the shruva, and you scoop a little bit of the payasam and then a little bit of the ghee. And then swaha, chup, chup, and you throw into the fire. So Vishnu likes to eat that sweet rice with a little ghee, all from the cows. So this elaborate yajna that was performed, so many Brahmins, of course, what to speak of the Brahmins? It's mentioned here that there's a problem in Kali Yuga. The Brahmanas cannot pronounce the mantras. In Treta Yuga, the Brahmanas were so expert at chanting mantras that they could give a new life to a jiva. When they would perform a Gomeda Jagya, Gomeda Jagya means you take one cow and you bring the cow into the fire and you chant, old cow, you take an old cow and the old cow is offered into the fire. And the mantras are chanted so expertly and so perfectly and powerfully that that cow goes in as an old cow into the fire and he comes out the other side as a new cow. That's before you do the yajna. That's the test that you know how to chant the mantras. So then that cow gets a new body. So now that we see that the Brahmana can chant the mantras perfectly, then the yajna is performed. So that's why in the Vedas it says, in the age of Kali, it is against the Vedic injunctions to perform Gomeda Jagya. It is against the law to perform Gomeda Jagya. So this, because Vyasadeva knew that in Kali Yuga, the Brahmanas would not have the power and not have the ability to chant the mantras properly. They would take an old cow and chant swaha, 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 put the old cow in the fire, and then Khatam ho gaya. The cow would be finished. No new cow would come out of the fire. So this is the problem with yajna. Although it is still going on all over India, so many yajnas are going on. But if you check, you'll see the Brahmanas are not pure. They do the yajna here, and then they go, after the yajna is finished, they go down the street and smoke a bidi. We perform this, what was it called? Bhagavat something? Bhagavat Avan. We did this 10 days Bhagavat Avan. So we called in the first class Pakka Vrindavan Brahmins. Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga Vrindavan Brahmins. So they did their yajna, swaha, swaha, swaha. And then after they finished their 1 hour of yajna, they went down the street around the corner. So the mouth, from the mouth that's tamagun, this smoking is tamagun. So how from tamagun you can produce sattvagun? Not possible. So the same mouth that's smoking bidi cannot chant Vedic mantras. Impossible. Your sadachar must be pure. Your mind must be pure. Then you can chant Vedic mantras. Then you are Brahman. You are Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi. One who is Brahman, Aham Brahmasmi, he is a Brahmana. Samodamastapasho cham shantir arjam evacha. Jnanam vijnanam ashtakyam brahma karma sabhavajam. Yajan patan bhatan dan pratigraha. These are the sadkarma vipano nipano vipro. Sadkarma nipano vipro. A vipra, a brahmana is expert in six kinds of activities. Sat karma nipano vipro. Nipun vipra. So a brahmana is expert in these six kinds of activities. Yajan, bhatan, dan, pratigraha. So one of those activities, yajan, means sacrifice. Yajna, doing sacrifice. A brahmana is expert in that. And then he's expert in, he performs sacrifice himself, and he teaches others how to do sacrifice, and he does sacrifice for them. Yajan, and then patan, he studies shastra, and he speaks shastra. Patan, then dhan pratigraha. He receives charity, he gets donations, but he distributes. He doesn't buy a new sumo car, first class sumo car, new air conditioning for every room in his Vrindavan house, first class marble floors in every room, all kinds of luxurious tape players, stereos, big satellite disc on his roof, ZTV. This is not Patigraha. He receives charity from his performance of his duties as a brahmana, and he distributes it. For example, there is one brahmana in Bangalore. He's a very first class, he's one of the best brahmanas in India. He's becoming a very famous brahmana. In fact, this brahmana last year, he was voted by the business community. The business community in Bangalore, they voted this brahmana as the man of the year. He was voted as the man of the year. This brahmana, he's been in the newspapers, he's a very famous brahmana. And this brahmana, he receives a lot of charity. People give him a lot of money. What does he do with the money? Does he buy a satellite disc and a Videocon 24-inch TV? And a new Sumo, DX model, air conditioning? No. What does he do? The money he receives in charity because he's a Brahmin, he distributes it back to the people. He gives it back to the people. How does he give it back to the people? By giving them Krishna Prasad, Bhagavat Prasad. Every month, he's getting charity. He's a famous Brahmin. But every month, he's giving $15,000 in charity. Is anybody here doing that? Giving away $15,000, 5 lakhs? Every month he's giving charity of 5 lakhs. He's distributing to all the people of South India 5 lakhs worth of charity every month. This is Brahman. This is called Dan Pratigraha. Dan, in Kali Yuga, all the Brahmins, yes, I'm a Brahmin. Yes, like, you know how much they hammered his head. The Brahmins from Vrindavan were hammering our temple president and said, hey, I'm Brahmin, Brahmin, give me Dan. So much they want money. Money for this, money for that. Money to walk, money to talk, money to sit, money to stand, money to eat, money to sleep. Right? They want so much dan. Give me dan. This is my uttariya. Fill it up. Lakhs and lakhs of rupees. But they don't distribute anything to anybody but their wife and children. And that is not charity. That is duty. That is dharma. That is patni dharma. This is not Brahmins. But charity means that you give to the people. The people have given you dan, so you give them back. So who is this famous brahmana? Who is this famous brahmana that was voted man of the year, who's giving away $15,000 worth of charity? What is he doing? He's giving out prasadam, Bhagavat prasadam. Every day he's giving out 14,000 or 15,000 katoris of khichdi to people in South India every single day, and some days 20,000. And at the end of the month, that cost him 5 lakhs. It cost 5 lakhs. Who is that man? Who is that famous brahmana? His name is Maru Pandit. Maru Pandit Das. Maru Pandit. And he is a temple president of ISKCON Bangalore. Maru Pandit ki jai. This is Brahman. So Prabhupada established ISKCON to create a society of brahmanas, not to create a society of chores, not to create a society of gundas and dacoits, Kali Yuga Brahmins. Yes, yes, give me dan, give me dan, give me dan. I didn't give you nothing. No, this is real brahmanas. So we receive people's money and we give books, we give charity, we give prasadam, we arrange facilities for them, for hearing and chanting. So this verse, Sukracharya, is mentioning all the discrepancies. So see what a fallacy, see what a big problem it is. Your grandfather or your mother might say, oh, let's have a jagya. So they call in some brahmanas and they do a jagya because of conditioning, because of habit. But that jagya is full of chidram, full of mistakes, full of problems, and it creates no result. Practically nothing. Especially because they don't use pure cow's ghee. This is the biggest. They can chant some mantras, they can get some kusa mats, and they can get some wood, and they can make a fire, and they can install Ganesh, and they can worship the Digpals and the Devatas, and they can do Suryanarayan Puja, and so many things. But then they use dalda, vegetable ghee, or at best they use buffalo ghee. Which means absolutely the whole thing is worthless. Because you must use panchagavya. This is Shastra. This is Shukracharya speaking. Shukracharya, he's the acharya of the whole, all the demons. The demoniac people means those people that are interested in sense gratification. They're doing jagya for sense gratification, for karma, for jnana, for position, for power. So in this age, jagya is not recommended. So in Treta Yuga, when sacrifice was the means of religion, Krishna came in a red avatar with four hands, and in one hand he had a shuk, and the other hand had a shuva. But in Kali Yuga, Krishna also came to teach jagya. But in Kali Yuga, Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he also had two hands. He also came with many hands. Sango Pangashtra Parshadam. Sango Pangashtra Parshadam. It's explained in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. Krishna Varnam Trisa Krishnam. Sango Pangashtra Parshadam. He came with his parishads. He came with his family. With his expansions. Bhakti avatar. Like that. Shakti avatar. He came with Nityananda Prabhu, his brother. And he came with Srivas Thakur, Narada Muni. And he came with Gadadhar Pandit, the embodiment of Radharani, Radhani Shakti. And he came with Advaitacharya, Sadashiva, Mahavishnu, Sadashiva. He came with all of his parishads. So it's explained in Bhagavatam, Sango Pangashtra, Ashtra. Ashtra means weapons. Danur, Brahmastra, these are weapons. So what were the weapons of Lord Chaitanya? What weapons did he have in his hands? Just like the symbols of the Yajna Purusha or the Yajna Avatar were Shruk and Shrava, Shruk and Shruva. But in Lord Chaitanya's hands, what were his weapons? Two weapons. Two weapons Lord Chaitanya had in his hands. One hand he had Saundarya, beauty. Right? He had beauty. So he attracted people with his beauty. And the other hand he had his kripa, his mercy. Daya, Daya Ram, Daya Sindhu. So this is Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, he attracted people by his mercy and by his beauty. When he traveled through South India, everyone, this is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that he converted people to Krishna consciousness, not by the sword, like the Crusaders or the Muslims, they want to convert people with the sword. Do you accept Allah? No. Off with your head. That's called converting someone with the sword. It's called argumentum ad bachelum. Argumentum ad bachelum. It's a fourth type of persuasion. You can persuade someone by logic, by bribing, by giving a post, or you cut them. Cut their head. Argumentum ad bachelum. The fourth way, most severe. Now, do you accept Allah as the supreme? No, chop. So Lord Chaitanya didn't come to chop anybody with a sword. But he had two weapons, his saundarya, his rupa saundarya, his beautiful body and beautiful form. Krishna's Kaviraj explains. Everyone was attracted. They just ran to see his beauty. And then he gave his mercy. So these were the two weapons that he had. Karuna and Saundarya. Beauty. Rupa Madhurya. So, Lord Chaitanya, he came and he said, look, you can't even get pure ghee. You can't find the proper mantra chanters. So many things are required. First, there's self-purification. You have to do nyas. You have to perform nyas. Purify yourself. Then you have to purify the desh, the place. And then the kala, and the desh, and the nyas, and the niyam, and the yam, and the tantra, and all these things. Plus the paraphernalia. You can't do it. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya said, Nam nam akari bahuda nija sarva shaktis. Tatra pita niyamate smarane nakala. Etadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi durdeva mi ihajani nan. Ijisham ihajani nanuraga. He says that nakala, niyama. Forget about niyama. Niyama means those rules and regulations, restrictions which we put on ourselves to purify ourselves. These are like vaidis or vidis. The niyamas, there's particular rules and regulations that we accept in order for purification. Just like when someone accepts upanayanam or becomes a brahmana, he accepts the principle, the niyam, that I must chant three times a day. Trisandhyam, anik. It's called anik. Anik. Trisandhyam, anik. At sunrise, noon, and sunset. This is called vidhi. It's a vidhi. So for jagya and sacrifice, all these things, but Lord Chaitanya said, for this jagya, For the Harinam Jagga, there's no vidhi. There's no vidhi required. You don't have to worry about Kala or Desha or Patra. Just like we heard about Vishwamitra Muni, he wanted to do Jagya, but it was defiled and destroyed by pus and urine and stool from the demons. So everything, he couldn't do anything. All his time was wasted. But when we go on Sankirtan, it was like, I remember in San Francisco, we're going on Sankirtan, chanting with a kirtan party. So then these drunken bums and people, they come along and they take bottles of beer. They throw it on us. And they cover us with beer. Or they throw fish on top of our heads. But that doesn't contaminate the Jagyashala. We don't become contaminated. Nitya Mukta Purna Shudho. Purna Shudho. Explained in Padma Purana that the holy name is Purna Shudho, completely pure and eternally liberated. It's never affected. And the cure, we didn't stop. Oh, we have to stop the kirtan. We got covered with beer and liquor. We got covered with fish. We have to go home and take a bath and then do nyas and so much tarpan and puja and this and that. And Bhuta Shuddhi and nyas and all these things and purify our bodies and again start the Harinam. No! When we got the liquor poured on top of us and beer poured on top of us, what did it do? It made us chant with more enthusiasm. We chanted even louder and became even more enthusiastic to glorify the holy name. And then more people became purified and more people got the benefit of the holy name. There was no contamination. No one became contaminated. It was like an abhishek. The Sankirtan party was getting an abhishek by the demons. This is a demon's abhishek. A little beer, a little whiskey, a little diplomat, a little Scotsman, a few muchi on the side. Wonderful abhishek. No contamination. Pure. Purna Shuddho. And then they see, you guys can't be stopped. So they just say, oh, Hare Krishna, forget it. It's too costly. It's too costly to perform abhishek. This is what Prabhupada's answer was. Whenever a devotee dies, he should call in the devotees and do jagya. So this is the teaching that we get from this verse. We're encouraged and reminded of the sanctity and purity of the Harinam. This is the age of Kali. It's explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's one verse that says, enlightened persons. First of all, let's explain something. Everyone has heard of Arya Samaj. But the word Aryan actually means a person who is sincerely seeking spiritual attainment. That is an Aryan. An Aryan is a progressive person who is reaching for mukti, who is searching for spiritual attainment. That is an Aryan. He's looking for the essence of life. He's an essence seeker. A sarva manush. He's a man looking for the essence, sara. So what is the essence of life? If you look at this material body, what is the essence of this material body? It is not the body itself. The essence of this material body is the soul, is the atma. That is the essence of this body. But then what is the essence of human life? The essence of human life is to realize God. That is the actual essence. So an Aryan is one who is searching for this, searching for God, genuinely searching to realize God. He is Aryan. This is its Sanskrit definition. So then, in the 11th canto, it explains that Aryans, enlightened persons glorify the age of Kali. Just as the soul is the essence of this body, what is the essence of Kali Yuga? The essence of Kali Yuga is that in this age, very, very easily, one can attain God realization simply by chanting Nam Sankirtan. So that, one verse says, enlightened persons, they glorify all glories to the age of Kali. All glories to the age of Kali. This is what Paramahamsas do and Aryans. Because in this age, very easily, you can attain perfection, Prem Siddhi, love of God, by chanting Hare Krishna. And there's one verse in the Vishnu Dharma, in the one Shastra called Vishnu Dharma, it said, for those people who have Govinda, the name of Govinda in their mouth, if the name of Govinda is in their mouth, they are not living in Kali Yuga, they are living in Satya Yuga. Satya Yuga is the age of peace, it's the age of joy. Just like we were just in Calcutta, Dinanath and myself, we were in Calcutta and with Krishna Prema. And we were seeing everywhere there's a big sign, "Welcome to Calcutta, the city of joy." And you look out the window, there's all these people with leprosy, and all these people starving, and all these people begging, and all these people living on the streets, and all. It really looks joyful. Really joyful. And the air is totally polluted, and in 5 minutes the inside of your nose becomes black, and the inside of your eyes becomes black, and you get a headache from the air pollution. This is real joy. This is joy in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga joy. Poverty, pollution, starvation, alienation, terrorism. This is joy in Kali Yuga. But in Satyuga, there's a different kind of joy. There's bliss, happiness, satisfaction, prosperity, peace of mind. And everyone is self-realized and serving God. So it's explained in Vishnu Dharma that if one has the name of Govinda constantly in his mouth, he's always living in Satyuga. He's always joyful. He's always peaceful. He's not living. Even though his body is in Kali Yuga, his heart and his mind is in the city of joy. He's really in the city of joy. Vrindavan. This is the city of joy. Nitya Vrindavan. So this verse, Sukracharya is speaking millions of years ago, and he's saying, there's problems with Jagya. O Lord Narayan, he's speaking to the Jagya Purush. Sukracharya, who has done thousands and thousands of Jagyas himself, is speaking to the Yajna Purush personified, who's standing before him. Lord Vishnu is standing before him, and he's saying, Lord Vishnu, Jagyas are a big problem. There's so many chidram. But in Sankirtan, nishchidram. Nishchidram. There's no discrepancy. There's no problem for Sankirtan. So all glories to the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. Well, what did we say? Prema Sankirtan, was it? Chaitodharvana Marjan, what's the last? Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Sri Krishna Sankirtan ki jai. So this is the great Jagya for this age. And when Lord Chaitanya spoke this beautiful verse, explaining that it doesn't matter whether you're clean or unclean, or whether this titi or that titi, there's no consideration. You can chant in the bed, you can chant in the bathroom, you can chant in your sleep, you can chant in the car, you can chant when you're clean or unclean. In fact, in the deity worship book, it explains snan. It's called Ritu Chara. Ritu Chara. Ritu means seasons. And then there's Nritya. Nritya Chara means daily activities. Daily activities of purification. So it mentions different types of bathing. So you can take a Divya Snan, you can take a Nadi Snan, a Divya Snan. Nadi Snan means to take bath in the river. Jamuna Snan, Ganga Snan, that's called Nadi Snan. Then a Divya Snan, what is a Divya Snan? That means when the sun is out, the sun is shining, and it's raining. When it's the sun is out, Surya Darshan, and it's raining, you go outside and take a bath, that's called Divya Snan. But if you can't take a Nadi Snan, what do we take? We take a shower snan. Shower snan. If you can't take a Divya Snan or a Nadi Snan or a shower snan, there's no water, then what kind of snan can you take? Mantra snan. You can take mantra snan. So even if you're dirty, you can take mantra snan. Which means you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Mantra snan. Because mantra snan, when you chant Hare Krishna mantra, that means you're remembering Krishna. You're thinking of Radha and Krishna, the Yuga avatar. This is Yuga mantra, so Radha and Krishna are there, in your mind, in your heart, in your lips, in your ears, in your eyes. So this is purifying. Because the Achman mantra that a Brahmana does to purify himself, from the Puranas, it says, Om apavitra pavitro va sarvavastam gato biva yaksmarat pundrikaksham sabayavyantara shuchi Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. So what does that mantra mean? This mantra is eternal. This mantra is millions and millions of years old. It's an Achman mantra. You chant this mantra, then you sip Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. So it says, Apavitra, Apavitra, Pavitra. Pundrikaksham, it says, Om Apavitra Pavitros, Saravastam, Katobya, Yak Pundrikaksham, Smaret, Yak Smaret Pundrikaksham. It says, whether you're Apavitra, if you're impure, which means you haven't taken a bath, there's no water, your body is dirty and filthy, if you're impure, or whether you're pure, whether you've taken a bath, Pavitra, you're pure, whether you're impure or pure, you will become pure by Yak Smarit Pundrik Aksham. If you remember Smaran, Pundrik Aksham. Aksha means eye. Pundrik means white lotus flower. White is pure. White is a symbol of purity. And lotus is a symbol of beauty and purity. So you'll become beautiful, you'll become pure, like a white lotus flower, if you remember the lotus-eyed Krishna, Shyam Sundar, Damodar Govinda Gopal. So, that's the shastra behind the principle of mantra snan. Because when you're chanting Hare Krishna mantra, you're remembering Krishna. And when you're remembering the lotus-eyed Krishna, you're becoming pure if you're impure. However, somehow or other, we're being favored by Indra. We have some water, so we can take proper snan thrice in a day and keep clean. So we don't have to worry, we can chant Hare Krishna everywhere. But are we chanting Hare Krishna everywhere? This is the problem. So Sukracharya is encouraging us, please chant Hare Krishna. Sukracharya is telling us in the page of the Bhagavatam, forget about jagyas, all these other jagyas and swaha and this jagya, that jagya. Do only one jagya, Sankirtan jagya, and you will attain all perfection. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Is there any questions or comments? The question is that Lord Chaitanya, he spread Krishna consciousness with two weapons. Although he pulled out the chakra, he pulled out his chakra for Jagai and Madai, and Nityananda said, hey, wait, hold it. No chakras in this avatar. Oh, that's right. Then he gave Kripa. With the same hand, he was about to cut his head, then he gave Kripa. Because he put out his hand, he put a tulsi leaf in his hand, it's told in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And he said, Jaghai, Madhai, take my mercy. That's why Lord Chaitanya is like this. His hand is giving mercy. Right hand is giving mercy. And left hand is in ecstasy, is rag. He's saying, Anurag. He's saying this verse, I have no rag, I have no attachment. But the left hand, he is just, this is his hand in ecstasy when he's chanting. But this hand, he's giving mercy. So he put a tulsi leaf in his right hand. He said, Jagai, Madhai, take this tulsi leaf and offer it to me. Patram, pushpam, palam tayam. Krishna accepts a tulsi leaf. If it's offered with love and devotion. If you offer one tulsi leaf with love and devotion, you will become liberated. The example is there in the story of Jagai and Madhai. So, Vrindavanas Thakur explains, they had a tulsi leaf in their hand of Lord Chaitanya. He said, take this Jagai and Madhai and offer this to me. This is all I want. One tulsi leaf. And Jagai and Madhai said, because they're Brahmins, they said, no, my Mahaprabhu, we can't, please. We're so sinful. We can't do that. Please, just send us to hell. Do it. We don't want to offer this tulsi leaf back to you. We're too sinful. No, please. Don't worry. You surrender to me, and you promise never to sin again, and you'll never have any more difficulty. You'll be liberated from your sinful life, and you'll attain prema. So they were so reluctant because they were so sinful and so contaminated and so many sins within them. So then Lord Chaitanya, he offered his merciful hand, his kripa hat. You know hat? Kripa hat. He offered it to them, the tulsi leaf. So then Madhai took the tulsi leaf and he accepted that contract. But Lord Chaitanya said, you have to promise me that you'll never sin again and you'll surrender to the Sankirtan of the Lord's holy names. And so they said, yes, my lord, we promise. We surrender to you and we accept the sankirtan of the holy names. And then he said, so, give me, make that offering. So then, Jagaya, they put the tulsi leaf back in Lord Chaitanya's hand. And when the tulsi leaf touched Lord Chaitanya's hand, for one moment, Lord Chaitanya's body turned black. And the acharyas explained that this symbolizes that Lord Chaitanya accepted all of their sins. That's what Krishna says. Sarva dharman prityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami ma tuja. He says, aham sarva pap. I accept. Krishna speaking. Krishna is Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. Krishna says, I accept all your sins. Don't worry. And you get moksha. He says, right? He says, sarva papi moksha, moksha ishyami. You go to moksha, you get moksha. So Lord Chaitanya, that's what he told him. You give me this, you'll get liberated. So then he turned black. He took all their sins. He took all the sins of Jagai Mate. And then immediately again he came golden. So this is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. That is his mercy, kripa. That is his one hand. You're asking, what are the two hands? So that is his one hand. And the other hand is his beauty. His hand is beautiful. His beautiful fingernails are like rubies, shining like rubies. And his whole face is so beautiful. All the beauty of Radharani and all the beauty of Krishna combined. Because one and one makes two. Right? One and one makes two. But when you come in the field of transcendence, you have one and one equals three. Or equals one also. Prabhupada also said that. But in this case, in other words, the sum total is greater than its parts. Radharani is completely unlimitedly beautiful. Krishna is unlimitedly beautiful. So if you combine Radha and Krishna, you have the beauty of Radha and Krishna, right? No. You have more than the beauty of Radha and Krishna. See, so what? So the combining these two becomes more. The end result is more than the different parts. So the beauty of Radharani and the beauty of Krishna are indescribable, unlimited, insurpassable. But when you combine both of them in form of Lord Chaitanya, then it goes thousands and thousands of times more. So beauty means when he was moving, everyone, whether they were Tattvavadis or Mayavadis or Brahmavadis or Buddhists or anything, the thing that compelled them and attracted them like a vast magnetic force was the beauty of Lord Chaitanya. He didn't say anything. He didn't speak a word. They would just run to him. Who is this person? Such beauty. Such sweetness. This is Lord Chaitanya. So Krishna's Kaviraj explains in many places when he's describing the South Indian tour that Lord Chaitanya spread Krishna consciousness with his prema and his beauty. Actually, I made a mistake. His mercy is there, but his mercy is that he gives prema. Actually, he spread Krishna consciousness with his prema and his beauty. This is actually what he said. With his prema and his saundarya rup. With his beautiful bodily form, he attracted people with his beautiful behavior, with his beautiful speech. So we can also have, we may not have very beautiful features, but we can have beautiful behavior. Like someone may have ugly body. Like we say, oh, that girl, she's ugly. She's very nice personality. You know personality? I don't know what you say in Hindi. But she has very nice personality. She's very sweet speaking. She's very soft hearted. She's very kind. She likes to serve. But she's ugly. You know, face may be ugly. Prabhupada's wife was like that. Prabhupada's wife was not pretty. So Prabhupada, our Gurudev, he went to his father, Gaura Mohan Dev. He said, Pitaji, my wife is something. But there's another girl that's more pretty. I like to take the second one. Because in Bengal it's very common to take two wives, even today. They would take two wives. He said, I'd like to take this other wife. This is in the biography, Prabhupada's biography. But then Prabhupada's father told him, no, it's good, Abhay. It's good that your wife is a little ugly. It's good that your wife is a little ugly. Because then you won't become too attached. You won't become too attached, and then you can easily leave at the right moment and attain Godhead and go take up spiritual life. But if she's too beautiful and too nice, you'll become lost. like a moth in the fire. Your wings will go. You'll be finished. You can't fly. When the moth, you know, moth, when it flies into the fire, maybe he doesn't get killed, but if he gets too close and pulls away, his wings get chopped. So if you get too much enamored by the beauty of your wife, your wings will get cut. And you won't be able to fly away from home life. You won't be able to fly away from your home because your wings will be cut because you're so much enamored. So Prabhupada's father said, it is good that you don't like your wife because you can easily leave her. So we may not have the beauty of Lord Chaitanya, the beautiful body, but we should have a beautiful heart and a beautiful mind and beautiful actions and beautiful behavior and beautiful speaking. And in that way, with this beauty, we can also spread Krishna consciousness to some extent. And then, that's beauty. And then on the other side, anyone can have prema. An ugly man, an ugly woman, fat woman, fat man, thin man, black, white, green, yellow, retarded, leper, any kind of man can have prema if he surrenders to Lord Chaitanya. Krishna prema for Daita. And if you have prema, Krishna prema, then you can also spread Krishna consciousness in a big way. So these are the attributes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, prema and beauty, transcendental beauty by which he spread Krishna consciousness. And his love is his mercy also. Any other question? Lord Chaitanya said there's no hard and fast rules for performing kirtan. But at the same time, if we look at Lord Chaitanya, he's saying, chant, chant, chant. There was one cartoon in the newspaper 25 years ago, which Prabhupada liked very much, and used to quote this cartoon. It shows a man, it's a little cartoon, a husband and a wife. And they're sitting there, a husband and a wife. And the husband he's reading a newspaper, and he says, oh, my dear wife, the Hare Krishnas are telling everyone to chant, chant, chant. And then the wife responds, but I can't. I cannot chant. Can't. So Prabhupada used to say that he would cite this comic, this little newspaper comic. He said the lady used the same energy to say can't, and she could have said Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. But because she's not, you know, pious, she couldn't chant. So there are no hard and fast rules for chanting. You can chant anywhere, at any time, in any place, and it's always pure, and it's always perfect. And it purifies that place. However, when Lord Chaitanya was having kirtan in Srivasangam every night, he very much followed particular rules of kirtan. Kirtan can go on any place, but there are some rules of kirtan. There's no rules for having kirtan. You can have kirtan anytime, and you can chant anytime. But when you perform kirtan for the pleasure of the deities, then there are some rules, like the morning, like we said yesterday, the morning raga, the evening raga, and these rules should be performed. Lord Chaitanya observed, although Lord Chaitanya himself said there's no rules, but there are rules. The no rules means there's no rules. This is the point. There's no rules in terms of kala, desha, patra, nyas, purity, paraphernalia. Those rules are not there. Because these are all the rules of every other jagya. Every other jagya requires these rules. But in kirtan, the only rules are that we should use kartal and mridanga. Don't come in with a set of drums. No, use kol and kartal. You don't come in with a trap set of drums and, you know, although that's also used. They also use these things around the world. But the authorized kirtan of Mahaprabhu is kol and kartal, mridanga, kartal, and a few other instruments. So we use particular instruments. Although when Prabhupada went to New York, he had no mridanga. So he used bongo. Pop, 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 pop. And they were playing guitar and playing flutes and triangle, ding, 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 and banjos. And playing, who was it? Ishan. There was one devotee, Ishan, he used to play his trumpet. He used to play his cornet, or like this guy, Ekalavya. So, he used to play his trumpet. So, and then anything, any, so the Prabhupada, he didn't, when he first went, he let anything goes. Right? Any kind of instrument, anything. But then what happened? But now, after Prabhupada got established, first thing he did, he imported a mridanga. He bought a mridanga. And then he got kartals. They were sent from India. So then when the mridanga came, the kartals came, he said, okay, no more banjos, no more guitars, no more, you know, tambourines. Now we, right? So Prabhupada started rules and regulations for kirtan. Prabhupada started ragas. So all these things. But these were also started by Lord Chaitanya. Just like when Lord Chaitanya's time was there, there were many Muslim instruments, many kind of instruments that the Muslims would use for music, but they were not allowed in the kirtan. There were specific instruments, kolan, kartal, and shringa, type of horn called shringa, and flute, and esaraj, and different instruments were used. So there are no rules, but there are some rules. When we're talking about yama and niyama, these are, in other words, the sacrifice of Hare Krishna. There are really no rules. You can chant any raga you want, any raga, play any instrument and chant, and you'll get the benefit. But when it comes to any other kind of sacrifice, the rules are everything. The rules, the yama, niyama, the desha, the titi, that is everything. If there's a little discrepancy, everything finished. But kirtan, you can use any instrument, chant any raga. But when you come into the temple, that acharya of that temple, he may have rules. But you may go down the street to some other place, hey, anything goes, man, Hare Krishna, wow, wow. That's like Siddha Sarupananda. Prabhupada had one disciple called Siddha Sarupananda. So in that temple, Prabhupada's temple, there were rules. But in his place where he was doing his Hari Bol, there were no rules. Any instrument, any raga, mostly they chanted rock and roll tunes. They would take Beatles tunes and chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. No, anyway, forget about it. But they chant all these crazy tunes. So the jagya of chanting Hare Krishna doesn't require any kind of any rules. So this is really spontaneous. This is spontaneous. Just chant. Anywhere, anytime, everywhere. Chant and purify yourself and purify the world. That's the question. Is japa kirtan? No. There's very, very strict definitions of kirtan and japa. Kirtan, of course, is out loud with instruments. Japa is no instruments and not out loud. There's three kinds of japa. Upamshu, uchaishik, and manasik. Manasik japa is in the mind. Even the tongue does not move. The tongue is pressed against the top of the mouth, roof of the mouth. That is manasik japa. Only the mantra is going through the mind. Very difficult. And unless guru tells you to do it, you should not do it. Then the second type of japa is upamshu. Upamshu means that you're mouthing here, your lips are moving, and you're just, hardly any sound is coming out. Then uchashik. Uchashik is out loud. Uchashik japa. These are three kinds of japa. It means that you're chanting loud enough so you can hear yourself. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And maybe someone sitting next to you can hear you, like your Gurudev. Because your Gurudev may want to listen. So he'll tell you, okay, you chant uchashik. Uchashik means out loud. But it's not that you should chant, I do that. If you want to chant like that, you go out to our Krishna Jayanti Park. We have our Krishna Jayanti Park here in the back 100 acres there, Stool Bagicha. It's called Stool Bagicha. You can, or Mal Bagicha. You can go out there and chant with that. But in the temple, it's not like that. It shouldn't be like crazy chanting. Prabhupada would, if people would chant crazy when Prabhupada was there, he'd say, you go outside. Outside. So kirtan is with instruments. And there's kirtan styles also. Kirtan styles were given by Naratam and Srinivas. And the Gaudiyas, they try to follow these kirtan styles. Of course, there's a new kind of kirtan style that's been introduced by ISKCON. It's called the ISKCON kirtan style. And it's unique. No other Gaudiya Vaishnavas chant kirtan like we do. But I guess that's Lord Chaitanya's arrangement also, because we're a worldwide movement. And the most prominent movement for spreading Krishna consciousness. And we do have our definite ISKCON kirtan style. You know it. And so, the way we jump around like Sugriva and Hanuman. And we jump around like Sugriva and Hanuman. If you ever live in Mayapur, Bengal, you'll see sometimes, I stay 3-4 months a year in Mayapur, Bengal. Usually you'll see different famous kirtan groups come from Bangladesh, and they come in the temple, 30 or 40 of them, and they perform for Radha Madhav. So beautiful. And they dance so nicely, so artistically and so beautiful. But we have our own Sugriva Hanuman kirtan style. Prabhupada once said that. He once said in the early days, he said, just like Ram went to Kishikinda. Kishikinda? He went to Kishikinda in South India, and he got all these monkeys. And he crossed over the ocean with all these monkeys, and he captured the goddess of fortune. And he made the whole world fortunate by establishing Ram Raja. So he said, in the same way, I have crossed the ocean. I crossed the Atlantic Ocean, and I grabbed all these monkeys. I grabbed all these monkeys, and with these monkeys I have conquered the world. I have conquered Ravana with this handful of monkeys. So he compared all of his disciples to monkeys. So that's naturally when we dance, you know. We dance like monkeys, you know. That's another point. Elephants also, white elephants. So it's called ISKCON Hati Kirtan or Bandara. Bandara Kirtan style, the ISKCON Bandara Kirtan style. Or the ISKCON Safed Hatima Kirtan, the white elephant. But someday you should actually see people dancing, how beautiful it is, how nice it is, and how inspiring it is. Because they're dancing exactly like their guru danced, how his guru danced, has his guru. And who is their guru? Gadadhar Pandit, Srivas Thakur, Nityananda, Mother Janava, because all these lines are there. This dancing style that you see, if you have the good fortune, is the same as Lord Chaitanya used to dance. In such a sweet and beautiful way. But we prefer the monkey style. So this is, we have a unique style that we're in our style. Whose style is the most famous all over the world? The Bandara Kirtan style. It's on every continent. 450 temples, it's the biggest style. So it's our own style, and we can be proud also, because other people come, when they write in the newspaper, they write in guidebooks to India. When you go to Vrindavan, be sure to visit the ungrazed mandir and see the 7 o'clock evening kirtan. Don't miss the kirtan. They write that in tourist guidebooks. Don't miss the evening kirtan at ungrazed mandir, you know, Saib mandir. And in Calcutta, they write the Saib mandir. See they write there in the tourist guidebooks in Bengali in Bengal. Be sure to see the Saib Mandir. Saib means white person. The Saib Mandir Saturday evening kirtan. Because on Saturday evening most people are there from Navadvipa. It's a huge kirtan. And the devotees do the full monkey style. 100% monkey kirtan. Just running back and forth, running this way and that way and running around, jumping. And everybody, like 200, 300, 400, 500 people come from Calcutta and all over the place, and they watch. Wow, they love it. I mean, they love it. They don't like this kind of beautiful state. Forget that. That's old fat. I want the ISKCON style. You know, it's called Power Kirtan. You know, now we have like, you know, Pentium 333 or something. You know, it's like high energy computers. Like Power Kirtan. You know, Bandara Shakti Kirtan. So that's our style. So it's nice. We're famous. So don't stop. We have to keep the fame. Keep it going. But some devotees, they prefer like somebody like Radhanath Swami. If you ever see Radhanath Swami, he dances in a very beautiful way. This is how that they dance. He's seen that style. And some people, if your heart moves, Prabhupada said, these devotees are not dancing. No one is paying them to dance. This is not a disco where somebody's being paid to dance to get other people to dance or... It said the soul is dancing, and because the soul is dancing, the body is moving. So if your soul is dancing like Sugriva and Hanuman, then you dance like Sugriva and Hanuman. But if your soul is dancing like in remembering Mahaprabhu or Gadadhar Pandit, then you move like different style. At any rate, the main point is to dance for Krishna. Dance for Krishna. Try to please Krishna by your dancing. Krishna likes monkeys also. Ram had so many monkeys. Ram is here, so when we're dancing like Hanuman and Sugriva, I'm Ram. Ram must be so happy. Oh, so many Sugrivas? So many Hanumans? I'm so happy. They're dancing just like Kishikinda when I came there, and they were jumping and jumping. Like when I retrieved Sita, they were jumping off the trees and jumping everywhere. They were jumping off the chandeliers, jumping off the top of the Vyasasan. This is great. Hanuman's so happy. So the monkeys go on that side and dance. Sugriva and Hanuman Kirtan style, that side. And then Mahaprabhu Kirtan style over here. You know, different. And then in the middle, it's, the different style. Ras Kirtan. Ras Leela for Radha and Krishna. He said some devotees are sitting and chanting, some devotees are moving and chanting. How was Prabhupada chanting? Prabhupada was sometimes moving and chanting, and sometimes sitting and chanting. So, there's achar and prachar. Achar means behavior, and prachar means preaching. So Prabhupada sometimes walked, sometimes sat. But when Prabhupada writes about chanting, that's his prachar. Prachar means his preaching. So he's preaching in his books. So when he writes about chanting, he says, you should sit down in front of Tulsi. And he tells this in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the story of the prostitute that tried to break the austerity of Haridas Thakur. Because when he converted her to become a Vaishnavi, a pure Vaishnavi, he said, now you sit down in front of Tulsi and you chant three lakhs of japa every day and everything will come to you. So Prabhupada in a purport, he says, yes, this is the perfection. To sit down in front of Tulsi and chant japa, this is perfection. But if not in front of Tulsi, in front of Thakurji. To sit in one place and chant all your rounds. And so many of Prabhupada's disciples, they heard that, and they used to do like that. Jayananda Prabhu, he used to do that, chant all his rounds in the temple room in front of Tulsi. And many devotees. And this is also mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatana Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami. The moving, chanting, the main thing is to stay awake. If you sit down, and then you have to move. The main thing is you have to be awake. First you have to be conscious. No conscious? Conscious means awake. And then if you're conscious, there is a chance that you may become Krishna conscious. First you have to be awake, and then you can become awake in Krishna. Become awakened, enlightened. First be in the light, and then you become enlightened. So you have to be awake, and then you can chant. But personally, we sit and chant. And this is the best way, from according to Shastra and according to our Guru's writings and teachings, sitting in front of Tulsi. And I have a beautiful picture which I got from the Prabhupada Toshini. There was one magazine called Prabhupada Toshini, maybe you've seen. You know Prabhupada Toshini? From Noida or something. So in there was one black and white picture of Prabhupada sitting by, I think it was by Radha Damodar. And he's sitting perfectly straight in front of Tulsi with his eyes closed and he's chanting. It's in India. And I keep that picture with me. It's in Vrindavan just now, but I usually have that picture by where I chant. And it's very inspiring to me because to me this is the perfection. Sitting perfectly straight, his eyes closed, meditating on japa in front of Tulsi. This is how I see my Gurudev chanting japa. Brahmins are the guru for society. Brahmins speak Shabda Brahman. Shabda Brahman means the teachings of Krishna, the spiritual vibrations and the teachings of Krishna in the Puranas and Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. So they will speak Krishna's teachings in a language which is suitable for you to hear. If you are Hindi speaking, that Brahmana Vaishnava, he will speak in Hindi to enlighten you. If you are Russian, he will speak in Russian. He will take Shabda Raman and he will give it to you in Russian because it can go in any language. And you can hear that sound vibration in Hindi and it will change your consciousness. It will purify your consciousness, change your consciousness and change your behavior. And you will start to live a spiritually centered life. And you will eventually get more and more teachings, more and more instructions, and learn how to do bhajan, learn how to worship the Lord and serve the Lord, love the Lord, and go back home, back to Godhead. So this is the duty of a teacher, of a brahmana. So that is called the brahmana shiksha. So brahmanas can do that. Now, when we're talking about Jagya, we're talking about Sanskrit, one language, Sanskrit. And we're talking about mantras, Sanskrit mantras, which have to be enunciated and chanted exactly properly to create result. In previous ages, in Treta Yuga, the Brahmana would chant mantra to light the fire. He would chant a mantra and go like this, and fire would come out from the end of his fingers, from the mantra. The mantra would produce flame, and that flame would start the fire. That was Treta Yuga. And Treta Yuga was the age of Jagya. But nowadays, what do Brahmanas do? You know what they do? They get one small Bic lighter. You know, gas lighter? You know a gas lighter? You go, and gas comes out. There's a very small one you can get. Very choti wala, choti gas lighter. And they put it in their hand like this. And they put big pieces of Kharpur? You know Kharpur? Camphor. They have all the wood there, and inside is big pieces of camphor. And they go, then they take this lighter and they put their hand in the fire. They light it. They light the lighter right next to the camphor, and then as soon as the camphor gets lit, it bursts into flames, and all the big marwaris that are sitting there paying 10 lakh. Wah! Wah! Did you see that? He just chanted mantras. He lit the fire by mantra. Wow! What a Brahmin. What a bogus, cheating Brahmin. And that's if they even try. Most of them don't even try. They just have a few matches and they go, psh. Because they can't. There's not one Brahmin on this whole planet who can do that. And if he can do it, he's in the Himalayas hiding out in a cave doing some meditation. He's not making money doing Jagya. So this is two different sides of a Brahmin. One Brahmin is the ability to do Jagya. Yagyic Brahmins are extinct. You know extinct? Yagyic Brahmins are extinct. They don't exist in the age of Kali. Brahmanas who can do Jagya. But there's many classes of Brahmanas. One is called Vipra. One is called Hotra. There's so many. Advarya. So a Vipra, a Brahmin who can give knowledge, he's called Guru, Vedic Brahmin. He can give the knowledge of the Vedas. Tri Vedi, Chatur Vedi. So a Vaishnava is more than a Brahmin. He's a Brahmana by guna and by karma. By his qualities and his activities, he's a Brahmana. And he's teaching. A Brahmana is a teacher. He teaches Danur Jagya, Danur Veda, Ayurveda. But we teach the Bhagavatam. We teach Krishna consciousness, Bhakti Yoga. So we can, a Brahmana, maybe I can't perform Jagya and chant the mantras, but I can teach you how to love Krishna. And I can give you the knowledge to get out of this material world. I can liberate you from this material world. So that is the real duty of a Brahmana, is to give spiritual knowledge. So that's the kind of Brahmanas, those kind of Brahmanas are still available.